In 1968, the Beatles founded Apple Records. Looking to revolutionize the record industry, they aimed to put the power back into the hands of artists while launching undiscovered talent from across the musical spectrum.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one, and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you, good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host, and for the next 60 minutes, we'll explore the lesser-heard side of rock, a world consisting of album cuts and B-sides, along with a healthy dose of vinyl history and commentary, from the blues of the 30s to today's new releases. We have a lot to do, so let's get started.
This installment of the Apple Records story reflects the change in the mission for the label. Although there were some non-Beatle releases, the majority of the records released were by the solo Beatles themselves. Starting with George's second single from All Things Must Pass, What Is Life? A top 10 almost everywhere, except, strangely, Japan. Assigned Apple 1828.
I'm
It's taken until February of 1971 for Paul to enter the Apple single circus with his Another Day, a song he had in his pocket since the Get Back Let It Be session. A small snippet can be heard in the film. It was a half-decent pop tune, some called Eleanor Rigby Meets New York City, assigned Apple 1829. Shrewdly, Paul listed Linda McCartney as co-writer, causing 50% of proceeds to go directly to a new publishing company he just formed, and markedly less cash to Northern Songs, which he was still under contract. It was top 10 everywhere.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a towel around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day. In the pocket of her raincoat. It's just another day. At the office where the papers grow, she takes a break, drinks another coffee, and she finds it hard to stay awake. It's just another day. It's just another day.
So sad, so sad.
Power to the People was assigned catalog number Apple 1830. Its first appearance on LP would wait until 1975 when it was found on his greatest hits package, Shaved Fish, which was his final Apple release. The single almost hit top 10 in the States, peaking at number 11. But it was Ringo's It Don't Come Easy, Apple 1831, that would eclipse both Paul's Another Day and John's Power singles in sales and become Ringo's first solo single in the UK, where it reached number 4 in the charts. The song would eventually become his signature tune. Phil Spector was a regular at Apple, having originally been brought in to resurrect the Get Back, Let It Be material, or massacre it, depending on your opinion. He would produce many Apple singles for John and George, re-releasing his own Phillies Records Christmas Gift for You as Phil Spector's Christmas album on Apple, and even be named Apple's A&R man in 1970. That's probably how his wife Ronnie scored a George Harrison composition, Try Some, Buy Some for Apple, assigned Apple 1832. An entire Ronnie Spector LP was planned, but never materialized. A song George himself recorded for his Living in a Material World LP.
Way back in time, someone said try some. I tried some, now buy some. I bought some. Whoa, whoa, whoa. After a while, when I had tried them, denied them, I'm not afraid to die.
was an enormous amount of great material coming out of Apple. Unfortunately, the Beatles were losing interest in anything that was not their own stuff. And Beatle manager, Apple CEO, and resident sleazeball Alan Klein couldn't care less about the non-Beatle Apple artists. So when a single like Badfinger's Name of the Game is released, nothing is done for promotion and it dies slowly on the vine. Apple 1833 was a great song, but it was never released. The single was canceled. It eventually showed up on their Straight Up LP. A missed opportunity and another nail in the coffin, literally, for Badfinger.
I saw the railway master and I looked him in the eye. Said, would you go much faster if you thought that you would die? He said, not me, sir, I could not care. In fact, I would not try. For protest would not take me far. It's different me not being a star. I lock my feelings in a jar until another day. Oh, comfort me, dear brother. Won't you tell me what you know? For somewhere in this paper world is a place where I can go. Oh, long-awaited mother, is it time to make a show? And take your babies to your breast. You know we never passed the test. And all our sins should be confessed before we carry on.
Must have been paying attention at Apple. They took a previously issued single, in fact it was one of Apple's first four, Sour Milk Sea, Apple 1802, and reissued it as Apple 1834. Of course, hopeless completists like myself have both. It was a great song, a Harrison composition, and it featured an all-star cast, one that anyone would have killed to have as their backing band. McCartney on bass, Harrison on rhythm, Ringo on drums, keyboards Nicky Hopkins, and lead guitar Eric Clapton. The singer was Jackie Lomax. The results were the same. It was released. No one noticed again. What a shame.
If your life's not right, doesn't satisfy you, you don't get the breaks like some of us do. Better work it out, find where you gone wrong. Better do it soon, as you don't have.
British underground alternative magazine that pushed the envelope of freedom of speech and found themselves guilty of obscenity. John Lennon, being a sucker for such causes, wrote, performed, and recorded a single for Apple, God Save Us, number 1835, credited to Bill Elliott and the Elastic Oz Band to raise money for the Legal Defense Fund for the magazine. Can't imagine how much money they raise, but it's a cool song and something you'd only hear on the Vinyl Garage.
Yeah.
long before Live Aid, Farm Aid, or raising awareness became something everybody's doing, there was the Concert for Bangladesh. The first ever benefit concert at this high a level, raising, after it was all said and done with albums, live tickets, and proceeds from the movie, approximately $12 million. It was billed as George Harrison and Friends. The Friends being Badfinger, Leon Russell, Ravi Shankar, Ringo, Billy Preston, and Eric Clapton, who amazingly, despite the heroin, didn't embarrass himself. Paul declined, citing legalities, and John originally agreed to perform, but when George told him to leave Yoko at home, he declined. The single Bangladesh, Apple 1836, was rush recorded and released a week before the Madison Square Garden concert.
Help us save some life.
Paul's first self-titled solo LP spawned no official singles, although radio singled out Maybe I'm Amazed, playing the album track. And it looked like it would happen again when radio stations started programming Uncle Albert from the Ram LP. But this time, Apple showed some intelligence, releasing a slightly shortened single version that went all the way to number one in the charts. Apple 1837...
We're
was a
so
hit.
Sorry, Uncle Albert. We're so sorry if we caused sorry, Uncle Albert. But there's no one left at home, and I believe I'm gonna rain. So sorry, but we haven't heard a thing all day. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But if anything should happen, we'll be sure to give a ring.
Was huge, but Apple 1838 was not. Although Indian music was somewhat popular, it wasn't a big seller. The single was merely a Harrison indulgence for his friend Ravi Shankar. Actually an EP containing three cuts, the first being the song Joy Bangla. Raj has been proud to present a number of firsts on the radio station. Probably the first time the Ramones have been played on the Cool Cat has been here. Definitely the only time the Sex Pistols have been broadcast has been proudly here. And this week, another watermark, a Yoko Ono single, Apple 1839, Mrs. Lennon. Now relax. It's not as bad as you may think. And besides, have you ever actually heard one? I won't play all of it. I'll gently mix it into John's most famous single, Apple 1840, Imagine. That'll make things right.
And the world. So this is Christmas. I hope you had fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young,
a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
So happy Christmas for black and for white, for yellow and red ones. Let's stop all the fights.
A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Printed vow and the unwritten way.
Badfinger's highest charting single at number 4 was Day After Day, Apple 1841, from the Straight Up LP. The album was to be the pinnacle of their catalog, but the path there was difficult at times. Originally started with Jeff Emerick doing production, the result was shelved by the record company, with George taking over production shortly thereafter. He soon would be distracted by the concert for Bangladesh, and Badfinger would be handed off to Todd Rundgren, who finished the project. It's sad how the band never was treated with the respect they deserved. Released on festive green vinyl, John and Yoko's Happy Christmas, Apple 1842, would become a holiday staple. The normal green Apple labels were augmented by a few custom labels featuring pictures of John and Yoko morphing into a combination of the two of them. These pictures were taken by Ian McMillan, the photographer from the Abbey Road cover. Surprisingly, the single did not chart in the U.S. And Mary Hopkins' Water, Paper, and Clay, Apple 1843. The single didn't quite make it to the top 100 in the U.S., appearing at number 113. It was from her Earth Song, Ocean Song LP. Thanks for joining the Vinyl Garage with the next episode of the Apple Records Story, the period in the label's life that the Beatles' solo projects began to take precedent over the rest of the catalog. Sadly, a time when the deserving talents, Badfinger and James Taylor especially, would take a back seat to John and George's personal whims. The lunatic Apple A&R man Phil Spector and the downright crook Alan Klein didn't exactly help the situation either. The Vinyl Garage can be reached at facebook.com/Vinyl Garage Show. So until we meet again next week, this is Dave Nelson. Thanks for listening.
Right.